Urbana. We have three guests in the studio with me today. We have the president of the it's the official title, Hindu Temple and Cultural Society. And this is Professor Shiv Kapoor. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you're a professor at the university in mechanical engineering.
Right.
How long have you been on campus?
I've been here more than 27 years now.
37 years.
27.
27 years.
Yes.
And you came here when?
I came in 1979.
From where?
From Wisconsin-Madison. That's okay. Where I did my PhD.
I see.
And then after doing my PhD, this was my first job, and since then I've been staying here.
I see. A lot of people come to this university and never leave.
Yes, because it's a wonderful place and a great university.
And it has a worldwide reputation, yes. Of course. We're also joined in the studio by, let me see if I get your name right now, Aradhna?
That's correct.
Say it for me again.
Aradhna.
Aradhna Chajed.
That's right.
That's spelled C-H-A-J-E-D. Aradhna. And Aradhna is also a member of the society. And how long have you lived in this area?
I have been here 18 years.
And how did you happen to come to Champaign-Urbana?
My husband joined the business school here 18 years ago, and we have been here ever since.
And you and your husband have two children, you were telling me before the program began.
That's right.
Teenagers.
Yeah, teenagers. And they're very close. They're right here on the campus, and they both go to uni.
Oh, I see. Uni High.
Yeah.
Very good. And our third guest is a retired professor of social work. Clinical social work was his specialty, and Professor Bal Gopal. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. When did you come to the School of Social Work?
To the School of Social Work, I came in 1978, and when I came, I thought I'll be here for 1 year, and here I am. And prior to that, actually, I have lived all my adult life in this country, so almost close to about 50 years.
Were you born here?
No.
Adult life, you said.
Adult life,
adult
yeah.
Life. Mm-hmm. And where were you born?
I was born in India.
Which part?
Central India. Right. If you throw a dart, it'll be bullseye.
And was your family Hindu?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But India is a country with many different religious traditions. I know particularly in southern India, there's a long tradition of Christianity. Of course, Islam is practiced. What other religious traditions are there in the country of India?
Well, you have Sikhism. Uh-huh. And Jainism. And, of course, as you know, that Buddhism started in India, but it went all different parts of Asia. And there is a new revivalism of Buddhism in India now. And there are quite a few people who are getting back and converting to Buddhism.
Uh-huh.
Then, of course, a small minority. When there was a persecution in Iran, almost 600-700 years ago, to the Zoroastrians and the community called Parsi. And they came to India, and they have now, of course, their number is dwindling, and they have left quite a few of them to different parts of the world, and it's also a minority.
And also in the subcontinent, of course, there are Jews.
Yes, and in fact, very interesting thing is that about 2 weeks ago, they had one of the lost tribes from the northeast part of India has been admitted as the genuine lost tribe and have the same right to return to Israel.
Oh, really?
And about 80 families left 2 weeks ago, and there are quite a few of them there going.
Interesting.
And most of the Jewish population is going back to Israel, although in Mumbai, which is to be called Bombay, there was a large Jewish population. And
there are also Baha'is.
There are Baha'is, yes.
Mm-hmm. We have a Baha'is temple in Delhi, for example, a very beautiful temple.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where your family came from?
Mine's from north,
yes,
but it is south of Delhi.
I see.
It's a UP state. It's called. Yeah.
Now, tell us about the plans for the Hindu temple here in central Illinois.
Yeah, I think over the years, you know, as I said, that we came here around 25 years ago. At that time, the population of Hindu were not that much, but over the years, it has grown, and we started feeling that we need to have a place because we were doing some religious activities in Urbana Civic Center. We rent a place, rent that place for 4 hours to 8 hours, and then have the function. We started feeling that we have reached a critical mass where we can benefit with this particular place if we can build, and also not only the religious part but also the cultural part, which of course is kind of intermixed sometimes in that regard, because a lot of cultural activities have certain blend into the faith and Hindu faith. So we feel that we need to have a place in this area right now.
So you have a critical mass of members, of families, and people who would find it helpful to have a permanent place. Where Hindus
yes, could to go and pray, yeah. Yes.
Have their religious services.
Yes.
And about how many folks are there now?
The society right now have a membership. We never had official count because we do not had a society or a membership or anything like that. So it's very difficult to really, really guess exact number. However, we have the society now and the membership around 70, 80 families. But we guess that there are about close to 200 families in this area. They are not all members of the society, so we don't know exactly, but that's our guess.
Sure. Now, tell our listeners who may not know, what kind of religious services happen at a Hindu temple typically?
Well, Hindu religion does not have a specific designated time to have service, number one. It does not have the kind of a hierarchy of different other religions, especially if you look at Catholicism. You know, you've got the Vatican, the Pope, the Cardinal, and so on and so forth. These reasons for that, and it's a much more freedom is there for the worshippers to worship. One of the often asked question for me is that, you know, you've got these millions of gods, and how do you pray, and which one you decide to pray? And that really is a question which many times helps us to clarify about the answer of service. Our belief is that there is one God, but he or she manifests through different kind of situations and portrays as the devotee wants to see the person as the God who is going to do that. So that's why you'll find gods with four hands and gods with elephant tusk and gods with, you know, sitting on a lotus flower and that kind of thing. These were the more of imaginary elements of the devotee. So when you have got, somebody might have Ganesh, that is the god which is with the elephant tusk. Somebody might be praying, and that might be, we call it Ishta, which means your favorite god. So you might pray to him. Somebody might pray to Saraswati, who is the goddess of knowledge. And so in the temple, you don't have a service of 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock because we don't have the same kind of sermons given and all the congregation joining together. The temples usually open in the morning, say like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock till noon, and maybe it might be open for 2 or 3 hours in the evening. And the devotees can come at any given time and do the prayers. And, you know, they might bring some flowers. And if there is a priest in that temple, he might put the flowers on behalf of the devotee. So there is no service as such. However, now what is happening is that because of living in the Western society where Sunday is picked up as a day for worship, that many of the Hindus would go to the temple because of the weekend. They might go on Sundays more than the weekdays and working days type of things.
Now, when a Hindu who is observant of the faith goes to the temple to pray, will they do that totally on their own, or do they do that in a group? Is there ever is there singing or praying or reading in a gathering?
Well, you know, it's an interesting kind of a thing, because there is new literature which is coming out about, in fact, I was reading a couple of days ago, there was one article which was saying the westernization of Hinduism. Yes, it does become into a group project type of things, but there are instances, like for instance, we have a fellowship in Champaign-Urbana, about 25 families. We get together in different people's homes once a month to sing Hindu hymns, you know. So that kind of a thing you might find in the temples during the some religious festivities. You know, a few people might get together and sing. Or, for instance, if there is a place, a hall or something like that, different groups within the church, the temple, they might decide to have a ceremony as a group ceremony. But otherwise, basically, Hinduism is directly the devotee and the Lord.
I want to give an example that, you know, we don't have any temple here, but suppose I visit Chicago. That's what my family will go to. So I drive from here. It takes 2.5 hours to reach there. We go there to temple. We go and pray. There's nobody there, in a sense that there's not a group I'm waiting for.
No priest.
No priest, you know, not necessarily to have. And I just go there to temple and, you know, in front of God and pray. And then, you know, just spend 5-10 minutes, meditate, and then out. That's it. So there's no group thing like, you know, whether we're waiting for some time, like 10 o'clock, I have to be there or something in that regard.
All right. Yeah. Let me ask you, Aranda, does... In terms of having children and educating them in terms of their religious belief and practice, do Hindus have classes for children to teach about Hindu beliefs and practices?
We had a friend who was giving lessons, and my kids went when they were younger. But it also, you know, she also had problem with the place because her house was not big enough to have a number of kids. So that lasted for some time, but I think it has stopped. So we haven't had any place, you know, where somebody could give them Sunday lessons. So it's mostly right now what we have is done by families in their own homes. And I think they really do miss out on, you know, not having a temple to go to.
Now, I want to ask more about the kind of practices that happen at a temple, but since this is a practical thing right now that your group is trying to get a permit to build a temple in this county. Tell us how that process is going. I know you have plans. You've purchased land already. Is that correct?
We have given an offer contingent upon approval.
Okay. So you're trying to buy how much land?
We have this particular parcel, which we were looking around with the price, which we could afford. It's about 39.5 acre land.
Okay, almost 40 acres. And where is that?
It is on, actually, it's on Mattis Avenue. If you go north on Mattis, pass Hensley Road. So it's a Dewey Fisher Road. They call it County Highway 1.
So that's north of St. Thomas More School.
North, it's about 1.9 miles, 1.7 or 1.9 miles from Thomas More North, north of that,
So the Catholic school is on that same road, and you'd be about 2 miles farther north.
Yes, yes.
And that's near a small rural subdivision with 30 homes or so.
29,
homes. There's some small businesses near there.
Exactly.
And why is that location particularly advantageous for you and for a temple?
I think, again, you know, as we were looking around, something which we can afford from the point of view of the price, again, and then also it's very easy to travel to. It's easy, accessible road. It's close by to the community also, because a lot of our people are in Champaign area. On Mattis Avenue, the divisions like, you know, Cherry Hills, Robeson, Prospect Avenue area. So we feel that this is closer also. And it's kind of centrally located from different point of view, from the Champaign-Urbana residents.
And yet, by being farther away from campus or town, you have parking.
Exactly. We have, yeah, this is one of the issues in the city, and, sure. And the parking is always a problem. Yes.
Yes. And I know many, I'm a Christian pastor, as you may know, and I know many Christian churches in this area that started out in the downtown areas or the campus areas have now moved out where people can have more room to park and more ease at getting the services.
Yeah.
And I know, for example, the First Presbyterian Church of Champaign has just decided to build a part of their church on 30 acres out, I guess it's south of town, not far from Mattis. And, of course, there's
one on Staley Road, some big church come out, right?
The Baptist Church in Urbana has moved south of Urbana into a rural area near a neighborhood, but sort of on the edge of town like you will be. So I know that's a common practice with religious groups in this area. And some of them have been quite successful in terms of providing the services that their congregation needs, and so many people have cars now. To get to wherever they need to get, it can be very positive. So you're trying to get a permit to set up this temple there, and I know from the news and from having attended a meeting this last week that there's some opposition.
That's right.
To your putting a temple there.
Yeah.
Why is there opposition to a religious group putting up a place of worship?
Our thinking is that there's, you know, people don't not have, you know, right information. They don't not know exactly how we operate and how this particular temple is going to be looking like, you know, and how big the building would be and things like those. I guess people are sort of objecting to, without having the full knowledge. That's what our thinking is.
Now, in terms of the building, how big will the building be?
Again, you know, we feel that, you know, this is a small community. The way we build temples is not getting money from some head organization or something. This money has to be raised by people here.
Locally.
Uh-huh. And so knowing the community, this is going to be a very modest building, with the idea that there is a prayer hall for prayer, and then also a basement type of thing for cultural activities. So it would be very, you know, in fact, right now in our plan, we're talking about the less than an acre land which will be utilized for the temple use. Temple and cultural center use, including parking and everything. So it's a very, very small.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you have more land that you're hoping to purchase.
Yes.
And is that partly because one of the beliefs of Hinduism is a real concern for nature, a love of the natural world?
Exactly. This is one of the reasons. This way we know that we have, you know, we have control of that.
Yes.
And we have, you know, we can beautify things, and it will be a little bit serene environment, and that's the kind of thing we like to have. Most of the temples are built in this country, especially that way.
I see.
Yeah.
And you plan to keep part of that acreage, or a large part, in farmland.
Yes, and that's our plan
crops.
Right now. Exactly, exactly.
Sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about the meeting that was just this last week. I don't want to focus very much on it, but there were people from that neighborhood who were objecting to the temple being there, and there have been news reports about that in the last couple of days. So let's talk a little bit about that. The neighbors, you've hired an architectural firm, and you have drawings of the footprints of the building.
Right.
But do you have any elevations drawn yet? Any?
No, we have not done an elevation, but we have done all the things what the use permit application required.
Yes.
In terms of the site plan, that's the requirement we were told about.
At this point,
and that's
sure.
what we prepared.
Sure.
We hired the engineering firm so that we were clear about the safety, driving safety, so that we know where the entrance should be, so that it's safe in that regard in terms of the area.
Yes.
We were, you know, certainly interested in the fire protection safety for that, so we've done that homework, and we're trying to talk to the people involved into. So we actually followed all the guidelines we got from the county regarding what requires for the application.
With the engineer you hired, the architectural firm you hired,
exactly.
You also have an attorney to make sure it's all done legally.
Legally, exactly.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
And you've done all the things.
Yeah,
in the other
and our feeling is that we will, if there is any requirement
yes.
in terms of the regulations, we will yes. meet, and whatever is required of, we will follow.
Okay. Well, before we start talking about some of the unpleasantness of the response of the neighbors nearby, let me reintroduce our guest for folks who may have tuned in late. We're talking about plans to build the first Hindu temple in Champaign County in a rural area off of Mattis Avenue in North Champaign. And we have as our guest the president of the Hindu Temple and Cultural Society, Professor Shiv Kapoor, who's in the Mechanical Engineering Department at the University of Illinois. We also have Aradhana Chajed. She and her husband have been in the community for 18 years. They've raised their two children here. And Professor Bal Bhagopal from the Department of Social Work, Emeritus, who's also a member of the society. Let me encourage listeners who have questions or comments to give us a call. This is a live program every Sunday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time. If you'd like to give us a call anywhere the program is heard, you may call toll-free 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. In Champaign-Urbana, there are several local lines, and we encourage Champaign-Urbana residents to call us using 333-9455. So that's 333-WILL. In the local listening area. Well, let's get back to some of the controversial aspects of the plans for the temple. The neighbors have enough fears and worries that they've hired an attorney. They've hired an engineer. I heard their testimony the other evening. How did you respond to that? What did you think of their comments and their sort of organized opposition to this
yeah,
religious group?
And my impression was, as I heard the engineer, we haven't heard attorney except that he cross-examined ourselves. But when I heard the engineer, essentially his comments were more towards things which the county didn't require as far as we were concerned about the things, the detail. Those kind of things were not, as we understood, required by the county. So we're not clear exactly what the opposition was
right.
in that regard.
We do have a couple of callers waiting. Let's go to local line number one. You're on Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Is that me?
Yes, line number one.
Hello. I'm really glad to see more faiths in Champaign-Urbana. I think it just enhances our overall community. Have you guys considered talking to people about the benefits of having a temple here for everybody and the benefits that would accrue even to that little subdivision, such as having more of a nature-based, more nature stuff there? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much.
It's a wonderful question, and I'm so glad that you are encouraging differential faith institutions to be built in our county. We tried to meet with the folks who are in that little subdivision, and we tried, and they declined our offer. Then we met with couple of the individuals whom we thought had some leadership, as well as they were a little bit vocal, and we try to clarify. We'll be more than happy to meet with them anytime they want, and so we can talk to them a little bit more on a personal level rather than just at the hearing.
The caller asked about some of the benefits that might come to the neighborhood. Currently, that land is just used for corn and soybean fields. At least that's the way it looked when I drove by. And yet the neighbors who have built homes there have put in trees and things like that. Do you have plans to do that?
Definitely. We have, we definitely want to put shrubs and trees and flowers and, want to beautify that area. You know, this is our nature of, and especially the temples, always around that way. Uh-huh. So it will. We want to assure people that it will be a lot more beautiful than just simply, the field.
And for people who might like to see a Hindu temple, where are some of the near ones nearby? St. Louis, Chicago, Indianapolis?
Yeah, those are the big cities. But even Peoria has built one. And, Louisville has one. Lexington has one. Even, I was recently in Nashville, beautiful temple they have built. East Lansing. Even community of our size, even smaller, they had a beautiful temple.
We do have another caller waiting. Let's go to line number two. You're on Keeping the Faith.
Yes. I'm so happy to hear the expansion of Keeping the Faith. There are all kinds of faith to keep. Anyway, I'm a nurse, and I'm old nurse, 72. My question is, how are you going to make this known? Because I think it's a great idea. How are you going to publicize this fact? I'm by nature a Methodist, which is a Protestant, but I'm very interested in all the diversity of faith. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. So will there be opportunities for people who are not Hindus to come and visit the temple?
Again, Bala wanted to answer this because...
Well, The Hindu temple is always open for any person, irrespective of creed or any other beliefs, and they can come as a visit. They can talk to the people there when we are, and we can explain to them, as well as if they want to just meditate. Because Hinduism is a very much of an individualistic kind of a religion. There is no set prayers to do. So you can sit there and pray, and if you don't want to go to any particular idol or icons there, you can just sit there and meditate, either in the building or hopefully the grounds will be, as my colleague Shiv is talking about, beautifying the grounds. They can do that thing. Just to go back a little bit also, we have close to about 15 or 20 temples now in the state of Illinois. And the first temple in the United States which was completed was in 1970. And that was in Pittsburgh. And it started around in the late 60s. And we have now close to about 200 plus temples which are officially have their own structure. But then there might be a number of small communities who might have the local fellowships. Meeting
in people's homes.
Yeah.
One of the places that people often encounter another religious tradition for the first time is when they're invited to a wedding.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Tell us about a Hindu wedding, and I don't mean to be sexist about this, but
Aradhana, you want to say, yes.
Maybe you know more about weddings than these two professors.
Probably Bal would know more. He has gotten two of his daughters married, I guess, about that.
Oh, you want me to? Oh,
yeah.
Well, Hindu wedding is fun. It's celebration. It can last for 2 days, 3 days. And, it's a place when families and friends, they come to celebrate. It is full of joy. And as most of you know, that Hindu women, they come clad in all kinds of gorgeous different color saris. And as my first daughter, elder daughter, when she got married, in Urbana, in the Civic Center. And one of my colleagues, she said something which is very interesting, and she says, you know, this is like almost anthropology 101. Because I learned about not just the wedding, but I also learned about the religion, and I also learned about the culture a great deal. There's a lot of dancing, and it's not dancing like typical Western weddings or Christian weddings, where you have in the evening a very formal dinner and then dance type of things. This is when the groom comes in, the crowd will go there from the bride's side, and they will welcome the groom, and they will be dancing on the street. And the girl, when the bride, for instance, she will have a ceremony the night before wedding where all her girlfriends will come there, and they will get their hands painted with henna, and there will be a lot of music and that kind of things. And a lot of these things are also now not only changing in the United States, but also in modern India. So there is a lot of things which they are doing it now. Like if you want to really do a lavish wedding in the evenings, they might have a disco and dance and that kind of thing. So there's a blending of both
Different cultures.
Right.
Cultural and, but the religion is
part. But it's religious. Religion is a big part of the wedding. The main ceremony where the bride and the groom go around the fire 7 times and they take vows, that's very religious. And that dates back to thousands of years.
And again,
so that is the main part of the wedding is religious. I just wanted to add that.
Then again, and also it depends upon which part of India. The religion, you know, the wedding in south versus wedding in north versus wedding in east versus wedding in west.
I see. Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of functions you'll see.
Different traditions.
Different traditions. Uh-huh. And it's a very, you know, very interesting. Sometimes, you know, when we, I mean, I'm from north, but if I go to a wedding of a family from south or from east or west, we experience even some different things which we don't have it. In north. Mm-hmm. So, but all the bottom line is, of course, is still this like a fire, you know, vows and things like that, which are even, you know, Western culture too, the same way.
Now, some people might hear light a fire and circle a fire is somehow, is this a huge bonfire?
What
is
it's a very small fire. And I think one of the misconceptions that a lot of people are having that there's going to be a lot of commotion and always big gathering and loud, and it's not like that. Mm-hmm. Most of the ceremonies and temples are quiet, and they're beautiful, actually. They're beautiful ceremonies.
The last Hindu wedding I attended was a year ago in the summer, and a young man that I had known and, in fact, had baptized as a Christian, as an infant, has now grown up and married a young woman who's Hindu. And they had a combined Christian ceremony on Saturday morning, and that lasted about half an hour. Mm-hmm. And then they had a Hindu ceremony that afternoon that lasted 4 hours.
Yes.
But it wasn't, everyone wasn't all there at the same time.
Yes.
You know, the priest was there, and the couple were in this lovely little area. It was actually held at a country club. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, nothing gets too out of hand at a country club. This was very proper and quite beautiful. Mm-hmm. But those of us who had not been to a Hindu service before, I had, but there were people there, my wife had not. And she was surprised that everybody didn't just sort of sit and watch the whole thing. There were chants, there were prayers, there were songs. Mm-hmm. But people would come up and watch for a while and then drift off and talk with one another and socialize and then come back and watch another part. And then the bride would change clothes again and it was another beautiful outfit. And when my daughter heard about it, she said, oh, 4 wedding dresses.
Yes, and this is what it's so true that when I was saying earlier that Hindu wedding is a celebration, and it's truly a joyful kind of things, and everybody takes part in that. And these days in the United States, there are lots of our Indian youngsters are choosing their life partners who are not necessarily Hindus. And both my daughters are married to Caucasian young men. But both of them, they got married in a very, very sort of a ritualistic and sort of even, I would say, traditional South Indian wedding.
I see.
And like what she was saying, in North Indian weddings, the groom will wear very fancy tunics and long shirts, which you see. In South Indian weddings, traditional South Indian weddings, the bridegroom will be bare from waist up. And both my sons-in-law decided that they did not want to put on any shirts, you know. And many the other interesting point which your listeners might be interested in knowing, that Hindu and marrying non-Hindus, there is absolutely no objection ever to have the service conducted in both rituals, as you pointed out, the Christian as well as things. One of my daughters wanted to have a Hindu wedding in the morning, and in the evening, our mutual friend, who is also an ordained minister of the Quakers, and so he had a Quaker service for them in the evening. My other daughter and son-in-law, they decided, no, they would just have one ceremony. You know.
Let me reintroduce our guest today here on Keeping the Faith. We're talking about the plans for a Hindu temple, the first Hindu temple in Champaign County. And we have the president of the Hindu Temple and Cultural Society, Shiv Kapoor, professor of mechanical engineering, Aradhana Chajed. She and her husband have been in the community for 18 years. And Professor Bal Balgopal from the Department of Social Work, retired. And we're talking about these plans. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Coming up next week on this program, we'll be talking with folks from AWARE here locally, the anti-war, anti-racism effort group. And they're going to be talking about different religious groups and their response to the war in Iraq. That's next Sunday, December 10, 5 o'clock, here on WILL AM 580, a radio service of the College of Communication at the University of Illinois. On December 17, we'll be talking with representatives from the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. Later in December, Sally Weeks, the very last Sunday of the month, a Baha'i who will be spending some time in Israel, will be here as our guest. And in January, we have several programs lined up that we think listeners will find of interest as well. Support for these Keeping the Faith programs is provided in part by the University YMCA, where I'm the executive director. The Y is the oldest religious institution at the University of Illinois. It was founded 133 years ago by Protestant Christian students. Over the years, the Y has become much more ecumenical and open to people of other faiths. And currently we have hundreds of students from many different religious traditions who are active in service, doing service projects, doing tutoring in the public schools, being very active in terms of preserving the environment. And it's quite an exciting place to be, working with students who are as bright as the ones here and creative and who represent so many different religious and philosophic backgrounds. One of the programs coming up in the Y next semester is Communiversity. For 35 years, the Y has provided ways for people to teach something that they're excited about, that they know about, to others who might be interested in learning. This is a non-credit course. No grades, no exams. Just come and learn what you care to learn. Very inexpensive. The people who teach these classes are write up a description, and the Y publishes a catalog, and we talk about it here on the radio. And people who want to take a course and learn more about who knows what, social dancing, various religious traditions, learn a different language, all kinds of things. the Brazilian capoeira exercise and spirituality. It's very popular right now, one of the classes taught at the Y. So if you'd like to propose a course, there are application forms you can pick up at the Y, 1001 South Wright Street. It's the corner of Wright and Chalmers, right across from Lincoln Hall on the U of I campus. Or check out our website, universityymca.org. Happy to have you propose a course. You can teach it free, or you can charge a small amount, and happy to have people who'd like to teach something do that. Well, let's get back to our topic for the day, the Hindu temple that there are plans for here in Champaign. Let me give the phone numbers again if listeners would like to ask a question or make a comment in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Elsewhere, including listeners on the Internet who may be listening via their computer anywhere in this country, 1-800-222-9455 is a toll-free call. And incidentally, if you've missed previous programs on Keeping the Faith, they are archived at the WILL website, WILLUIUC.edu, and then go to AM 580 and Keeping the Faith, and you'll see the list of programs that you can listen to on your computers. Well, I see we have another caller waiting right off. Let's start in with line number one. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I used to live in the Chicago area. I taught at a private university at that time. And it's in the Hindu temple, is one in Westmont. Is that correct?
Lamont.
Lamont.
Oh, Lamont. I'm sorry. Okay. Because Westmont is just...
close together, right?
Close together, right. But I've taken that route because I also... I lived in New Lenox and had to teach downtown, and I also taught out in one of the suburbs in Arlington Heights. So I would take that route, or the one that runs east and west, no, north and south. But the temple was quite impressive. It's sort of almost like a little bit of a mountainside. Actually, beautiful. I never had the opportunity to do it, but you. I think in that one would invite people at certain times could actually go and see the temple, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. I think, you know, where it has been going on right now, we do invite. In fact, we have, I've seen in the temple, for example, even school buses coming in, trying to, you know.
Give people the opportunity to see what exactly a Hindu temple is like.
Right.
Yes. Caller, did you describe the temple as quite beautiful. What's beautiful about it?
Well, I would think that it picked up is it granite or what? But it's in terms of the temple itself, with that you identify as a temple, it's just very impressive. And as was mentioned earlier, I didn't hear the whole program. I just tuned in here a little bit ago. But in terms of its setting, I mean, in fact, it's not that noticeable. You would be going, let's see, if you're going north and you're going down a hill into Lamont, it wouldn't quite be that noticeable, but it was just sort of impressive, particularly coming up the hill if you knew to look to your right when you're going north. That's right, when you're going south is when down the hill, and when you're going north, it would be as you come out of Lamont over the bridge and start up the hill. But you could see part of it, but, you know, it's just, it added to the environment. So I think sometimes in terms of people get concerned for the wrong reasons sometimes.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Some of the fears that people have is, of course, of the unknown, things that are different, things they're not used to. But there's also other things people are afraid of, and one of them is something we've mentioned. That might be intermarriage.
Right.
You know, people may worry about their children marrying someone of a different religious faith. That didn't bother you, but then polytheists can be more accepting, I think.
Well, Hindus, one thing which needs to be clarified, there is no proselytization, no evangelical type of things, you know, so that... When it comes to interreligious marriage, that poses very minimal kind of objections by not just the young couple who are deciding to marry, but their families or friends, because there is no conversion, you know. So that's one thing which is very clear. And second thing, which might also need to be known, that Hinduism emphasizes a way of life, certain things, you know, when basically the two terms which is commonly, now it has become part of the Western dictionary, dharma and karma. And, you know, loosely said, one can say it's a duty, you know, so there is a certain duty each individual has to fulfill, whether it's a duty towards your parents, duty towards the elderly, duty towards the destitutes. So, you know, you do that thing, and we also believe in rebirth and reincarnation step of things. So if you don't lead a good life, that you might come back in another life as another being, and this cycle will continue till you live up to the expectations, and then, you know, you will become part with the Supreme Lord type of things.
So because of those, that ethic of duty and responsibility to society, to family, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to ask the question, but what's a Hindu neighborhood like? If there are a group of Hindus living together, what characterizes that neighborhood? Would it be any different than a Jewish neighborhood, a Christian neighborhood, a Muslim neighborhood?
No, neighborhood would not be different in any way.
Do Hindus tend to live together? Do they like to live?
Not necessarily. In fact, even India is a good example where you see people living next to each other, and my neighbor may not be Hindu, not necessarily.
So people in this community who might be worried that a whole group of Hindus will suddenly try to move to that part of town, that's not the case.
Not the case at all.
That's not your tradition.
Yeah. I mean, even this town right now, our community, for example, I mean, it's spread out everywhere. Uh-huh. It's, you know, you will not see that there are about 10 houses or 20 houses in one place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me follow up on Baal's point earlier about the conversion or proselytizing. If you don't do that, how do people become Hindus?
By leading a life which is respecting human beings, respecting the nature, respecting, you know, this kind of thing. It's a way of life. Now, you are a pastor, so I cannot, you know, speak with that like confidence as you would, Steve, but I think the dogmatic things about religion many times forces people to act this way or that way. And I personally feel this is my thing, and because most Hindus have their own individual opinions, because we don't have a strict scripture or dogma. And my thing is this, many times religion is God, a man-made, and we have to adapt with the time, we have to adapt with the context and situation. So I think that kind of a philosophy, if you adapt, you know, there are now people who say that there are a large number of so-called non-Hindus who are not born in India but who are of other ethnicity, they follow Hindu tenets.
And is that true in this community as well?
A little bit, I would say. A few, you know, I've seen people going to, because they just feel that they have a, you know, environment where they get peace, they enjoy the company, and they go there and participate. We have seen that thing.
We're down to about our last 6 minutes or so. We can still squeeze in a few more phone calls. Let's go to line number one for one of those. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Okay. I've had a couple of questions. One is maybe more of a comment. I'm hoping that when you do the landscaping and so on, that you'll consider using mostly indigenous plants to attract the birds and animals that live in the area.
Very good.
And the other thing is, I no one has said this yet, but I did have to wonder, is it possible that some of the resistance to having your temple built there might come perhaps secretly, I'm sounding a little paranoid, from developers who would like to have the land for something else to build houses on? I wonder if that's a possibility.
No, mostly the opposition has been coming from the neighbors, not from anyone else. Right, Chip? I think that's true.
And it's the land has been available for sale to anyone for some time.
So maybe
you're paranoid, but that these folks at least don't think that's the case.
Mm-mm. But I like the caller's comment with regarding to indigenous plants, and that's really keeping
really
up
very
with
good.
The things. It's an excellent
one. Very excellent. Yeah. We will definitely keep in mind.
Yeah.
Did you want to follow up, caller? Thank you.
Thank you.
We recently at the University of Y had some students who were very much interested in restoring Native American prairies to be more like they were before modern agriculture came in, put in prairie plants. And I was just noticing when I was chipping ice away on the north side of our building this last week on the sidewalk that some of the plants even look beautiful in the winter. They have lovely red stems, and even though the leaves are gone, the form against the white snow is quite beautiful. And these were all plants that grew here in the Illinois prairies.
Right.
So I can highly recommend.
They will do well also. I mean, you have to plant because that the climate and
they're
the
used
environment
to our winters.
That's an excellent idea.
We'll definitely.
Yeah.
You know.
And some of them flower at different times throughout the summer and spring and. If you'd like to look, walk by the Y sometime and see, particularly on the north side, they've been there now. This is their third year, so they really are quite nice. Mm-hmm. And we just planted a year ago ones across the front of the Y, but also using students who are in our group called Red Bison that try to restore native prairies here. So we can use some examples. And one of our students, in fact, who designed this is getting a graduate degree in landscape architecture, but is particularly interested in native plants. So that's a great idea. I didn't plant that caller, though. I didn't even recognize the voice. So we try to not do that in the show. We're down to just the last few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about other ceremonies. You say you don't have a regular time for worship. There's not like a Sunday at 10 when everybody shows up. Rather, people come at their own schedules at times when the temple is open. Are you open late at night? Would you be disturbing people who live nearby?
No, I think mostly only for main festivals. It might be open maybe till 10, but not. Most of the temple,
you go, you'll not see open beyond 8 or 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. 8 o'clock is probably usual. You know.
And what are some of the main festivals during the year? How many would there be?
Well, there's one very common is Diwali, which is a festival of light. And so that's one, you know, which is very, very well celebrated by everybody almost. Again, you know, because India, again, north, south, east, west have different things, then sometimes some festival which is very popular in south but not very popular in north. Diwali is one which everybody celebrates.
What time of year is that?
Fall.
Diwali is in October,
right,
and
October,
November,
right.
First week latest. Yeah.
But it's not more than four festivals, two in fall, which I would say Navratri to Diwali, and then two in spring. One will come 14 January, which is celebrated by a number of people, and then again in March. So no more than four big festivals in entire year, two in fall and two in spring.
Now tell us what happens at a festival.
Food.
Yeah, food
is
wonderful.
It's a big thing, and then we have religious ceremonies, and followed by food. Ganesh Chaturthi would be an example.
Is there music?
No, not necessarily.
Not necessarily. No, no music.
Yeah. So you don't have a very loud pipe organ.
No, it's enchanting of the mantras. That's what religious and which would be no more than an hour.
I jokingly talked about the pipe organ that's used in Christian services, which is can be very loud.
We don't have that kind of
what
core.
Kind of musical instruments are used?
You know, most of the music which is sung within the Hindu temple, what we call is bhajan. Bhajan is like a community hymnal singing.
Okay, thank you. We have another call. Let's go to line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Is it me?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Yeah, just one more comment on this. Is, yes, festivals, there are marriages and ceremonies, and there will be also certain major pujas that we call, like, for example, Ganesh Puja, and there will be Saraswati Puja, and those kinds of things. There will be activity, and of course, there will not be a big loudspeaker, you know, like that the community has to, or surrounding area has to get sound pollution, as they name it. So I think the fear of the people around, well, I respect that, but at the same time, is a fear of just something new that I think people are worried about. And I think any religious organization or any religious place, established by well-educated people who are aware of everything and also respect the nature and very democratic in that entire feeling of being religious or being who you are, I think there is hardly any reason to be fearful about it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. This community has an interesting history in terms of being welcoming to new religious groups. Of course, Protestant Christians were the first pioneers that came to this part of the Midwest and Illinois. And at first, there was prejudice against Catholic Christians. But as Catholic Christians came and settled communities, sometimes they had to start their own community because the Protestants weren't very friendly. But over the decades, Protestants and Catholics have found ways to get along. And, of course, on this campus, we have some examples of the first Jewish Hillel Foundation on any campus was here at the University of Illinois. And I think at first Christians may have been prejudiced against Jews organizing in that way. But at least most places have found that a very good thing. And, of course, we have the first Muslim mosque on any state university campus. So there's a tradition here of being open to new religious groups and finding ways to be friends. And of course, the ethics for Hindus is very similar to ethics for Christians, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
So, well, we want to thank our guests again for being here representing the Hindu Temple and Cultural Society that's trying to get permission to for the special land use in this county of a religious group for Hindus. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, our guest will be from Aware. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
One of the Dalai Lama's favorite places in America is a neurobiology lab at the University of Wisconsin, looking for scientific proof that meditation works. In other labs across the country, gene hunters are decoding the genetics of faith. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, it's the brain and belief. To the Best of Our Knowledge, from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7, here on WILL Urbana.
We wish to thank a special group of friends of WILL, the members of the WILL Legacy Circle, for providing for the future of WILL Radio through gifts that they've planned in their wills and estate documents. For more information about making such a gift, call Don DeBeard at 217-333-0850. Thank you.
This is WILL Urbana.
Sometimes you set out walking briskly on the path to disaster without even suspecting. Scott was 23, and he saw an ad in the paper looking for a German interpreter. He'd majored in German in college, lived for a year in Germany, speaking German. What could go wrong? The job was with the Detroit